I will tell you that if you were breathing air and driving a car by the State House, you got introduced this week.
Yes.
If you walked up to the balcony, waved your hands, flailing them around, and said, "Please say my name," then somebody would get up and introduce you. You are listening to From the Dome to Your Home podcast, the Municipal Association's weekly look at legislative action and issues facing cities and towns around the state. I'm your host, Casey Fields. Well, here we are again. My guest, Scott Slatton, welcome back.
I'll tell you what I wanted to open with when we get off air.
Okay. Because it contained a swear word?
Well, no, it wasn't a swear word, but it was probably a little risque.
Okay. Well, this is a family show. We only talk about NASCAR and kids sports.
It's something that I tell Dr. Slatton sometimes.
Okay. Well, okay. All right. Well, I'm going to skip over.
I'm going to go ahead and say it. It'll all be over soon.
Yeah, don't say it. That's it. Mr. Producer, we're going to have to cut that out of the broadcast.
I could be talking about anything.
No. You made it real clear what it was.
Meredith, don't cut that.
Meredith, cut it. There are only once the Senate adjourns today.
Yeah, they're on the calendar.
Once they adjourn, they're actually talking about the name, image, and likeness legislation for college athletes.
They don't like it, but we got to stay competitive. So.
And they are still in session. It is around 12:45 on Thursday, our normal time to record. They are in session, which I'm kind of surprised, I'll be honest with you, because they stayed up until about 10:30 or 11 last night.
It was a quarter to 11 when they finally quit last night.
On Wednesday evening, giving the budget third reading, which I guess we can talk about that first.
Sure.
The Senate adopted its version of the budget last night. They gave it second reading Tuesday, third reading last night. Mm-hmm. they had about 40 or so amendments in toto.
Yeah, they just kept coming.
Senator Peeler, chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, he cut amendments off at 3:30. That was a unanimous consent request, so no new amendments could be proposed after 3:30 yesterday afternoon. That still left them with 40, I think, on the desk to dispose of, whether it was adopting it or carrying it or withdrawing or tabling. A couple of exciting moments for us. Senator Darrell Jackson proposed an amendment to keep municipalities from regulating short-term rentals.
Yes.
Part of the, I guess, I don't know what, not punishment, but part of the penalty was to return 10% of the local government fund allocation. Senator Peeler, chairman of Senate Finance, Senator Harvey Peeler, Republican from Gaffney, he politely stood up and politely asked Senator Jackson to withdraw that amendment.
After some debate.
After a little bit of debate.
After some debate that was spurred by action on behalf of the lobbying team, where we reached out to a number of senators on the floor and said, "Hey, these are coming. This one's coming, and we'll talk about the other one in a minute. These are coming. Here's where we are. This is not how we shouldn't be attacking this issue by way of a proviso in the budget.
Right.
Because it's only good for 1 year.
Right.
We need to do this in a bill. And we'd love it if you can do whatever you can to get rid of this amendment." Mm-hmm. And fortunately, we had several who stood up. And definitely want to give a shout out to Senator Peeler for his advocating to move on, and then Senator Greg Hembree from North Myrtle Beach.
Right.
He got up and asked a lot of good questions. So appreciate them doing that, looking out for their cities and towns, and we will move on.
Absolutely. So Senator Jackson withdrew that amendment at the request or the urging, the gentle urge of Senator Peeler. And then later on in the night, Senator Sandy Sinn, a Republican from Charleston, she introduced a different short-term rental amendment that only applied to beach towns.
She intended for it to only apply to Folly Beach, but because of the way that the amendment was written, it applied to many more communities than just Folly Beach.
Scott, it was an interesting debate because she kept saying you know, this is near my district. This is my district. Mm-hmm. These are places near where I live. And Senator Chip Campson from Charleston stood up and he said, this is my district.
Yeah,
you are legislating my district.
Yeah, across Charleston Harbor from Folly is Sullivan's
Isle of Palms. That's right.
Which are where he lives on Isle of Palms.
Right.
And he got a little chippy.
Yeah,
he was quite offended.
He was defending his district. I gotta appreciate that
Casey,
if I were his constituent, I would appreciate him standing up for me against attacks from another senator, not from that district.
And of course, he was one of the senators and allies that we had reached out to previously. And we went through this same exercise,
right?
This exact same exercise,
last
this
year.
Almost identical amendment,
right?
Last year, Sandy Sinn's amendment, Senator Campson getting up and knocking it down,
right?
And so,
but except for last year, it was a point of order,
right?
That the way the amendment was drafted, right. This year it was a tabling motion that Senator Campson made. So
yeah.
She moved to adopt it, he moved to table it, and the amendment was tabled 31-13.
Yeah. So the difference being between last year and this year that she crafted or attempted to craft her mm-hmm. amendment to avoid that point of order of it being out of order in
that's
terms
right.
of changing permanent law.
That's right.
And that's which is a Rule 24 violation in the Senate.
And it was interesting.
That.
Absolutely. This is just not an issue that can be solved with a knee-jerk proviso. This is something that has to be worked on with there are a lot of stakeholder groups. And
yes.
This is just something that needs to be carefully thought out
and
planned instead of just in a one-year proviso in the budget.
And to that point, I had a subsequent conversation with Senator Hembree this morning, said the exact same thing. Thanked him for his support again in defeating Senator Jackson's amendment. But he said, look, you know, he said, I was sympathetic to what Senator Jackson, the cause that Senator Jackson was attempting to take up in terms of trying to solve this issue. But I did not agree with the tactic, which is to
right.
do it through the budget.
Right.
But he said, we need to get this resolved. I said, Senator, you're absolutely correct. We agree 100%. And when we find some good faith partners, good faith negotiators that we can work with to
mm-hmm.
move forward on this and to put this issue to rest
mm-hmm.
for the long term, then that's who we're seeking out now. And I pledge to him, as I have to many others, that we will continue to work this summer, this
mm-hmm.
fall, and bring a product to the General Assembly that satisfies cities, towns, the industry, and ultimately the General Assembly.
Mm-hmm.
So to the extent that, listener, you can contribute to that conversation and moving that forward, please do so, because we can't, you and I talked last night.
Right.
We can't keep doing this year after year.
No,
after year
and,
after
and
year.
Scott, it's difficult to negotiate with people that are continually attacking. So when
yeah.
you're negotiating with somebody, and we saw that during the business license negotiations,
yeah.
like you have a good faith partner that you're willing to give a little, they're willing to give a little,
right.
you meet in the middle. But you negotiate over time.
Yes.
And you come to an agreement that you both stick with.
Yes.
And it's difficult to be able to turn your attention to negotiation when you're constantly fighting attacks.
On that issue.
Right. So it's hard to be doing both of those things and feel good about it.
I mean, it's kind of like if you're, I mean, I hate to use a war analogy, but we're fighting a war right now, and then everybody says, okay, we want to sit down and work out a negotiation. And instead of having a truce, if you will,
mm-hmm.
or a ceasefire,
right,
so that you can do that and everybody can work in good faith,
mm-hmm.
well, we're sitting at the table hoping that, you know, expecting there to be a ceasefire. Meanwhile, one of our people who we're supposed to be negotiating with is still shooting at us.
Right, Right.
So
it has to be done. And this is not something that you can just throw a bill on the table and say, do you agree with this or not? This needs to be worked through piece by piece. And there are different elements to it. The regulation element, the taxing element. So there are a lot of different things at play. But I know this will be, you know, a priority of ours going into summer and fall.
Yeah. I'm tired of being reactionary and trying to stop bad things from happening on this issue.
Right.
Let's get it done so that we can all move on to the next thing,
right?
Whatever that may be.
Just a quick note about the budget. The items that we talked about in the Dome, or that we recorded in the Dome a couple weeks ago from Senate Finance, none of those changed. None of the amounts changed from Senate Finance to the full Senate. And then the full Senate did not change any of those amounts. They also kept in all the provisos that the Senate Finance Committee adopted that we also included in the Dome 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Talk about a couple of provisos that were attempted and then one that was adopted dealing with the liquor liability issue.
Right.
So Senator Shane Martin from Pauline in Spartanburg County put up an amendment and, you know, did as good a job as he could to get it going that would have suspended for at least this next fiscal year the requirement that establishments that serve alcohol after five carry the $1 million liability policy. That was his proposal. That was ultimately, I can't remember, was it ruled out of order or they voted it down?
I don't remember. I think it was ruled out of order.
A proviso that was adopted, however, related to that was the establishment of a liquor liability study committee. I think Senator Shane Massey, whose was that?
Senator Rankin.
Was that Senator Rankin's?
I believe that was Senator Rankin's.
That's right. Senator Massey had a February deadline on something else. But the study committee is charged with getting together and bringing all of the stakeholders together soon and deliver recommendations for how to attack this liquor liability problem that is going to continue to see small businesses go out of business.
That's right.
Because they can't afford the premiums. That's going to be a tough row to hoe. Considering how far apart
the two sides are,
the hospitality industry, the insurance industry, and then the trial attorney. So this will be the next attempt. I can't remember what deadline he put on that. Do you remember, Casey? He put a pretty strict deadline on this study committee to deliver its work to the General Assembly. So we'll see.
They also adopted as the very last bill of the night the bill regarding gender assigned at birth bathrooms. That was the last one they adopted.
An amendment. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For schools.
That's correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now the budget goes back to the House of Representatives. They will, whether they can agree on the Senate changes or whether they will amend it back to their version, likely go to a conference committee.
Sure.
And they just have to get it in conference before they adjourn sine die on May the 9th, which is in 6 days. Six legislative days.
Yep.
A couple of other kind of FYI points, let's say.
Sure.
If you remember, Scott, 4 score... And 7 years ago, the Senate passed Senate Bill 423.
423.
That is the South Carolina Compassionate Care Act.
Oh,
legalizing medical cannabis.
Yes.
It's been in the House for quite some time.
Yeah.
The House members held a House Medical Cannabis Ad Hoc Committee meeting.
Mm-hmm.
They took testimony, I believe, from law enforcement and the medical community.
Yes.
But they did not take action on the bill. They just carried it over, but they did hear testimony.
Yeah, they're going to meet again next week on that.
Okay.
So we'll see if any work on the bill itself takes place. But the testimony was multiple hours long this week.
Yes, and, it was.
Other than a lot of very compelling stories, anecdotes about the efficacy of medical marijuana and then the law enforcement's pushing back against it with lots of rationales, we didn't really learn more than we know now about what is actually in the bill.
Right.
So.
Then a Senate Judiciary Subcommittee met today, Thursday, and amended and approved the TCPR bill.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember us talking about that, Joni was on the show when you were out a couple times, and she was my special guest, and she talked about the TCPR bill.
Yeah.
They just amended that bill to include gross negligence and recklessness to mm-hmm. the already liability language that was in the bill.
Yeah.
Pretty standard stuff, and then passed that out to the full Senate Judiciary Committee.
That should be an easy lift going forward.
Should be.
I would expect.
Now, two bills that we've been working on and following pretty closely. Senate Bill 1021,
mm-hmm.
that's the Abandoned Buildings Revitalization Tax Credit Extension Bill.
Yep.
If you remember, it was the subcommittee added the language from House Bill 3737, the Short Line Railroad Modernization Act.
Mm-hmm.
Passed it out, full committee, got that bill with the amendment. They passed it out to the House.
Easy peasy.
Easy peasy. Done and done.
No questions.
So that should be on the calendar. It was right across the desk today, so that should be on the calendar next week.
Yep.
For the House of Representatives to debate. Also,
their ever growing.
Yeah.
Calendar.
The calendar went from nothing to like 15 pages.
Well,
and especially after today, they read out a ton of bills.
When you're introducing all 1,000 sports teams in the state.
And listen,
it takes a while.
I completely understand that is a special time for athletes,
yeah.
for anybody to be introduced. This, my sentiment on that is the cynicism that is creeping in that I just want to get down to business.
It's that time of year.
Yeah, it is. We're 6 days out.
It's that time of year for endless introductions,
yes.
and growing cynicism and impatience with the entire spectacle.
And it is also, you know, we're 6 days away from the end of session, but we're also, what, 2 months, less than 2 months away from primaries. And everybody's got to get their picture taken, and they've got to, you know, they're running in races. So they're kind of shifting their focus to that if they have primary opposition, which a lot of them do. So now another bill that we've been working on, Senate Bill 1017, that bill was, this is an odd way. It was almost like it took a wrong turn and then came back because it kind of went through all these different, versions. So 1017, the subcommittee, the property tax subcommittee, mm-hmm. amended the bill.
Correct.
With an amendment related to the property tax language.
Correct.
Right. Then it got to full committee yesterday.
Today.
No, this morning. That's yep. right. This morning.
This morning.
They're starting to run together.
Yes.
Then they, in full committee, they tabled or removed the subcommittee amendment,
correct.
Right?
Correct. Correct.
And replaced it with another one.
Correct.
You want to explain the new amendment that we're now dealing with?
The new amendment, and remember, folks, this is the bill that deals with property tax exemptions for nonprofits and developers who create workforce housing, affordable housing
right.
in cities, towns, counties. The amendment lowers the threshold in some circumstances, the income threshold for when a project is eligible for the property tax exemption. Okay.
Okay.
And it then more specifically says that any city that's in a metropolitan statistical area that is based in North Carolina and has more than 500,000 residents, then that is a different threshold, income threshold, than what would apply in other parts of the state.
Okay.
The reason for that is because the median income in that MSA, that metropolitan statistical mm-hmm. area, is so much higher than in other parts of the state that at the income thresholds for every place else in the state still is theoretically unaffordable, and so it would not do that particular area of the state much good. So They amended it to account for that unique circumstance. Otherwise, it's pretty well intact across the rest of the state.
Right.
And we will see what happens to it once it gets on the floor. Ways and Means adopted that amendment, then voted it out unanimously. So it'll go onto the calendar next week as well.
Yeah, it will be right near 10/17 for debate by the House. So we will watch that. We'll watch that and see what happens with it. This is, and we've talked about this before, this is the season. It's not the Christmas season, but it might as well be.
Yeah.
People who could not get legislation moved for one, you know, one reason or the other, who knows, they are looking for bills that are germane or might relate to the same code section so they can slap their bill on it and get it moving using another vessel.
I saw Gary Cannon at the at lunch last weekend.
Yeah.
And he says, "You keeping everything straight at the State House, Scott?" I said, "Gary, it's bobtail season."
Right. That's right.
So he knew exactly what I was talking about.
Former director of governmental relations himself, Gary Cannon, he understands what is going on and what everybody's trying to do. And because it's the end of the 2-year session, then the bills are dead if they don't get passed.
Yep.
And especially now, if a bill doesn't get in conference before May the 9th at 5 p.m., it really is dead.
Yeah.
So we, you know, people are starting to get desperate. They're starting to find anything and everything to attach things to and try to get their bill passed so they can...
Speaking of which.
Okay.
House Labor, Commerce, and Industry Committee was doing that to all of the bills that came out of full committee this week.
But Scott, what were they attaching to it?
They amended onto all of their bills, regardless of what the topic was. They amended onto those bills, House Bill 5118.
Right, which is the big power bill.
The big power bill, the energy, 10-year energy transformation, whatever it is. Because the Senate is not taking it up.
That's correct.
And isn't really signaling that it's going to take it up. So they did that, and that's going to cause quite the stir.
Quite the stir.
That's a shot from the House at the Senate to say,
yes,
get on with it.
We want you to take up our bill. You know, the sentiment in the Senate about that bill is everybody take a breath, slow down.
Well,
the Senate is very much divided over, let's get the bill passed. And let's take a breath.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so
that'll be interesting. They've only got 2 weeks.
That was something fun that was happening.
And something else that was fun, Scott, none of us were in this subcommittee meeting, but the House Judiciary Constitutional Laws Subcommittee meeting, they were taking up a couple bills, but then the last bill that they were receiving testimony on was the Senate version of the Judicial Merit Selection Commission, you know, changes to the judicial reform, how judges are elected.
Yes.
And a nice lady was signed up to speak. And when she got to the podium, she had her telephone and she plugged in her like ear pods, but they were the wired like earphones, and began singing very loudly.
She sang a song for like 4 minutes.
She sang a song for a little, like, it was like a little under 4 minutes. And after she was done, everybody clapped and she said, "Thank you for hearing me," and walked out.
Representative Jay Jordan from Florence was chairing that subcommittee. I texted him a picture of a gong and said, "Better than a gavel." And
I mean,
he just kind of laughed at it.
I've never in my 100 years working in this business, I've seen some crazy things, but that's one of the first ones.
I would be surprised if that video doesn't kind of go viral a little bit.
I've seen people screaming and yelling at subcommittee members. Well, we've seen people crying. We've seen people,
and of course,
very angry, very happy.
We've seen on social media where people go to like city council meetings in Texas or other places, and they do. They'll sing a song or do wacky things,
right.
But I've never seen that happen here.
It in a legislative subcommittee hearing.
So amazing.
You know, hey, at least she knew that in subcommittee you could testify.
Yeah.
At least she didn't try that in a full, because she would not have had her 4 minutes of fame.
Yeah.
Singing to.
I don't even know who she was. Nobody knows who she was.
I have no idea.
A strange mystery woman from out of the state house.
What, Scott, what else do you have on your list? Well, I feel like that I'm.
There's one thing that I do want to mention.
Okay.
And I mentioned this to a couple of House members. There's a bill that's on the House calendar. Mm-hmm. It's House Bill 1126. No, Senate Bill 1126. Mm-hmm. And it proposes to put on the ballot this fall a referendum to change the Constitution to, for lack of a better term, to clarify that only citizens of the United States and citizens of South Carolina mm-hmm. can vote.
Right. I thought that was kind of...
Okay.
Thought we did that anyway.
The idea being that there's a little bit of ambiguity in the current Constitution that would theoretically allow non-citizens to vote in South Carolina.
Okay.
And in the Senate and then in the House this week in full committee before this bill got sent out to the floor, an assertion was made that 12 cities allow non-citizens to vote in their municipal elections.
Knowingly and willingly allow.
These 12 cities have changed their ordinances to allow non-citizens to vote in municipal elections.
Wow.
When this was challenged, when this assertion was made in the Senate, a clarifying question, which 12 cities in South Carolina Well, turns out there are none.
Oh, okay. Nobody could produce a list?
These are cities elsewhere. The cities that are off. Somewhere else in the
United States.
12 cities
that are not located within our state's boundaries. Okay.
This assertion was made again in full Judiciary Committee, and nobody challenged
it.
So I've had a conversation with some members to maybe we... Let's, when this comes up for debate on the floor,
let's ask some questions.
And this assertion will no doubt be made again.
Of course.
Let's get some clarity on who these 12 cities and towns in South Carolina are that are allowing non-citizens to vote in their municipal elections.
Right. And we'd love to see the ordinances.
We'll see the list.
We'd love to see the ordinances.
If that's the case, then we got a problem.
Right.
We, as the Municipal Association, need to spring into action and see that is corrected, but I have a feeling that there's not going to be a list forthcoming.
Okay.
That's
certainly something to look forward to. You know what else I'm looking forward to?
What?
The trivia question this week.
Oh boy. Here we go.
I really think that Mr. Producer is going to stump you this time.
You think so?
Yeah, I do.
All right.
He tries every week.
Okay.
I hope Elizabeth likes this one.
I need her in here to help me.
What cities in South Carolina are named for Revolutionary War generals?
Hmm.
What cities in South Carolina are named for Revolutionary War generals?
Seems like this question's familiar. Have we had this before, Mr. Producer, this question? We haven't?
I think we've had something related.
I think some of the answers may be the same. Right?
I think we've had some related, named for governors or named for other,
off the top of my head, Lawrence would be one.
Yeah, that Mr. Producer put that as honorable mention.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Henry Lawrence?
President of the Second Continental Congress and signed the Articles of Confederation, a precursor to the United States Constitution.
I would guess Marion would be one.
Yes.
Named after the Swamp Fox.
That's correct.
Francis Marion.
That's correct.
Let's see. We don't have... Greenville?
Yeah.
Named after Nathaniel Green?
Right. So Mr. Producer says that's debatable.
Yes. Yeah.
But it's still on the answer sheet.
It's on the list, right.
I mean, if it's on the answer sheet, you got it. Mm-hmm. So, congratulations.
Let's stay in that general area of the state. Pickens?
Correct.
Would be one.
For Brigadier General Andrew Pickens?
Yeah.
You got one more. You're doing really well on this question. I'm quite surprised. Mm. You're clearly a history buff.
I am. I do listen to Dr. Walter Edgar in his podcast and show, so...
Excellent.
I'm a devotee, and I've read his History of South Carolina. I'd pick that up and read that if you get a chance, because all these people are mentioned in it at least once, if not multiple times.
All right, one more.
Boy, now you got me stumped. Give me a geographic clue.
Santee Lynch's. It's amazing how in working in this job for so long.
Oh, Sumter. Yeah. Thomas Sumter.
There we go. Fighting Gamecock.
Yeah, the Gamecock. Yeah, right. Thomas Sumter. Of course. Yes, yes, yes.
Good call.
Boom.
That was excellent.
I even got the bonus answers.
Yeah, you did. You even got the debatable and the honorable mentioned.
Yeah. I could make an argument for them all, for the right. debatable.
Of course you could.
You know?
Scott, we are closing in to the end of session, and I just want to go ahead and tell everybody, and this is just a plug, that because this is the end of a two-year session, we'll be beginning a new session in January, mm-hmm. that we will be seeking input on advocacy initiatives.
Yes. Going to do it a little different this year.
Going to do a little different. We'll tease that on the show, and then we'll kind of start talking about it a little bit more in the coming months. But we will need your input on issues that are important to you, issues that you want us to fight, that you want us to push forward, that would give cities and towns more tools in the toolbox in order to govern more effectively and serve their residents more effectively.
Yep.
So just keep that in mind, and, you know, maybe open a notes file on your phone. Or
ooh, I like that idea.
Keep, you know, a sticky note by your bed or something. So when you think about something, or if you're at City Hall and a problem comes up, you know, shoot us an email and let us know if it's something that we could work on, whether it's legislatively. It may not be legislatively. It might be a training issue.
That's one of the tricks that I use at 3:30 in the morning when I'm wide awake and can't stay asleep.
Write notes on your phone.
I purge it out into my phone. Mm-hmm. But it generally doesn't help, but it's an attempt.
I've done that before. Like, if I'm mad about something and I've got ideas how to fix it, like, I'll just go ramble on and write in notes, and then I have it.
Because
I don't forget.
I actually did that for my best friend's toast mm-hmm. at his wedding. I woke up the night before his wedding at like 3:00 in the morning and sat down and wrote out his toast that I gave. I was his best man and gave that, and it killed. It was great.
Really?
It was a great talk.
I tend to spend a little bit more time on mine rather than the night before. I like to spend time because I like for mine to be a cute poem.
I
write poems.
It was a good story. It was a quick, it was a quick, engaging story about him and his new wife at the time, and how we had discouraged him from pursuing her because we all said that she was out of his league.
Right.
And then,
but he ended up out kicking his coverage.
Yeah, but they got divorced like 2 years after they got married.
Oh, great story. Great story.
It didn't take.
I feel like we should have the Debbie Downer womp womp womp, like the Saturday Night Live Debbie Downer sketch when I gave the speech. Oh, they're divorced. Okay. Well, I'm looking forward this weekend to seeing about 40 of my closest mayor's friends down in Charleston for the mayor's conference.
Yeah, I hate I'm going to miss that.
I know. It's going to be fun. We'll be together for, 24 hours.
Saw GP yesterday.
Have a great time. He's coming down. Yeah, okay, he's coming down. Good. We're just going to have ourselves a great time.
Okay.
And we do not have a baseball game this weekend, but we do have two soccer games. So go kicking koalas. Anything else that we need to discuss?
That's all I got.
Everybody have a wonderful weekend, and we will see you back here, same time, same place. Be sure to follow the Municipal Association's podcasts on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Find the latest from the Municipal Association on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and the Association's website, masc.sc.